Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in here on QAM as we kick off the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Hollywood, Dan Day with us, Omar Kelly with us as well. Dan, on the update there, boy, this guy, this is funny. We always get this, like people are, you know, they want to hear what they want to hear about, you know, or hear us talk about Omar, and this guy was like really upset that we weren't talking about the baseball game yesterday. He says, do you know, guys, know Miami has a baseball team? You know, nobody cares about what you guys are talking about. Omar, you want to break down Marlins Reds for us here? Dan just gave you the update there. You want to break that one down real quick?
Marlins doing really well right now.
Oh yeah, they're the hottest team going. We talked about them a little bit yesterday. They're making a push towards a wild card, hopefully. But do you have anything else to add? Marlins Reds yesterday? Anything?
No.
All right, I'm good. We'll move on. We have a few people, Omar, that have texted in that would like to speak to you, that would like to call in and speak to you. I'm okay with it if you are. We took a call yesterday. It went very poorly. But I am okay with it if you are. The only reason I lean towards yes is because I feel like people will be mean to you. And I kind of want to hear it. So, like, I am leaning towards yes.
Make sure that I'm fine with it as long as they're very polished and get to the point. And
that I'm with you as well. That would be yes.
I miss the days where we once talked to callers, but then every time we've ever tried it, it just goes so horribly bad.
Somebody texted in earlier too. How the Dolphins could do what you said, that there's a path for the Dolphins to win a Super Bowl, Omar. This guy said I'm wrong. He said I'm wrong. There is a path for the Dolphins to win a Super Bowl, Omar. All you need is Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, Burrow, Hurts, Love, Goff, Baker, Stroud, and Daniels to all have injuries that end their season, and maybe have a few coaches like Andy Reid and Sirianni just retire mid-season. That's how the Dolphins win a Super Bowl. Not that difficult.
Listen,
Omar, let's just do this. All right. Let's do this. For the Dolphins to win a Super Bowl, they would have to go through, let's say, the next 5 to 10 years. They would have to go through Mahomes.
I'm just saying in general. Okay.
At any point, they would have to go through Buffalo, Kansas City, mm-hmm. Baltimore,
okay,
and Cincinnati, maybe in there, right? Like those mm-hmm. quarterbacks. The AFC, for yeah. whatever reason, is all the elite quarterbacks.
Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Pittsburgh. You'd have to go through all of those places to even mm-hmm. get to a Super Bowl, let alone win one.
But you're not. You don't have to play all of them.
You might not have to. Not
all of them to win. Here's the issue that we've had. You want to know why the Dolphins haven't won a playoff game in 25 years?
Well, I think there's a lot of layers to that question. But
there are indeed a lot of layers to that question. But they've been playing in an AFC division that has been lorded by Tom Brady, probably arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, who mm-hmm. was playing in your division for 18 years. Lorded. You won it once, and that was a season where he basically tore his ACL. Okay. Now, and then when Brady went on and moved on, Josh Allen came in and became your daddy. So, yes, it would benefit you to have the best quarterback in the division. You don't have the best quarterback in the division. I don't think you'll ever have the best quarterback in the division because you've got two first ballot Hall of Famers. Okay, let's just start there. When you win the AFC East, which the Dolphins were at the doorstep of in 2023, they beat the Tennessee Titans in that game that you walked away from leading. That's the game you still haven't told your son that you lost.
They won that game. Yep.
Yes. If you had won that game, you would have won the AFC East. Like no debating that. Mm-hmm. And you would have hosted your first playoff game. Now, whether or not you would have won your first playoff game with the rash of injuries that you had, who can tell? But hosting a playoff game is a major factor and contributor to winning a playoff game. Just look at the odds of that. They haven't hosted a playoff game since 2008, and that was a game where I believe they lost to was it the Steelers? No, Steelers was the second one. Maybe the Ravens. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. But you have to host a playoff game to win it. You're not really going to win it as a wild card. And when you get to that point and you get hot at the right time, you give yourself a chance. Now, let's talk about last year's team. Last year, what could go wrong pretty much did. You lost your starting quarterback. Then your number two quarterback breaks his ribs in the first start. Not that he's good, but that happens. Then you have to start a quarterback who's been with your team for, what, 10 days? He doesn't know the offense. You have to ultimately simplify the offense, take out the complex motions that give your opponents challenges on defense, and it makes you easier to play.
This is all self, like, you did this to yourself, man.
How did you do
it
to yourself?
You act like these are just, like, crazy, you know, acts of God, like, the football gods were just like, we're not going to allow the Dolphins to win this year. Like,
yeah, should they have
had a better quarterback? You went into the season, they thought Skylar Thompson was the guy.
Yeah, should they have had a better backup quarterback? They should have had a better backup quarterback. But it doesn't matter. Even if they had a better backup quarterback, that quarterback, let's say he breaks his ribs in week two, your team is still in the hands of a guy who's been on the team 10 days. Now, put that aside. Your offensive line is okay early in the season, especially without Tua. They had like a streak of four games where they rushed for like 150 yards because you clearly have to become a more run-dominant team now that your quarterback has no idea what the offense is. And then you lose Austin Jackson. Once you lost Austin Jackson, you could not run the ball anymore for the entire season. You know? You lose your top two pass rushers. You know, Bradley Chubb never comes back. Jalen Phillips suffers an ACL injury after miraculously coming back from an Achilles injury. Hell, even Javon Holland, who I thought sucked last year, the guy broke his finger, then hurt his knee, and still continued to play. You know, Jordan Poyer had no excuse for being horrible, but, you know, he was. Zach Sealer, goodness gracious, the guy misses games because he has his eye poked out in practice. You know, what could go wrong did last season. Now, you still found yourself in position in the final game of the season. You needed a Denver loss against a Chiefs team that was playing nobody, and you needed to beat the Jets. Now, neither of those two things happened, but I'm not necessarily certain you were really trying to win that Jets game after a while, because it would have cost you draft points, draft positioning. But you weren't that far away from being relevant. If you had beaten Arizona, if you had beaten Indianapolis, I think there was another game where it was really close, contested. Oh, Buffalo, the second Buffalo game. If Jordan Poyer doesn't have that PI penalty, you're right there in the neighborhood of 11 wins. Now, it didn't happen for you. Okay, most of it, in my opinion, was injury related. If you have Tua for the 6.5 games he misses, you're going to win more games because Tua is clearly a quarterback that puts you in position to win games. Now, if you have a better running game, you're going to win more games. To me, having Tua healthy, establishing a better run game, having an offensive line that could protect better, having more balance on your offense, obviously getting better pass rushing, that's going to give you a chance to have a successful season. And I do believe that they have a chance. Yes, I have concerns about the cornerbacks? Absolutely. But at this point, I'm not panicked because there are about six guys that will have opportunity to prove they're an NFL player. If they do or they don't, you could always go out there and sign an Eli Apple-esque type player during training camp or during the exhibition season. Half the time, teams can wait till week two. There's always going to be a guy who you can sign who can add the team. Nobody's going to come save the team right now at cornerback. So, and if I had to pick, you know, the areas that are going to hold your team back, it's probably offensive line depth and cornerback. And I don't know if there's a panic state for those positions right now.
You're getting ripped, by the way, for your takes here. They are, by the way, in fairness, they are all excuses. And this whole, like, the quarterback staying healthy thing, and you act like it's, like, some shock that Tua is injury-prone. Like, this wasn't the book on the guy, you know, coming out of college. That's the thing that really bothers me, too, about, like, the whole Tua thing. And it's like, you know, obviously when they drafted him, they must have known that this was a possibility, right?
They knew.
He came into the league with a major injury.
Hip injury. And right? He suffered a hip injury.
Very
late,
significant
late
injury. You knew he was injury prone. The other thing is he's not a big guy.
Yep.
He is not a big guy. If you wanted a big prototypical quarterback, there was a guy at that pick too that you could have taken, right? Mm-hmm. You could have taken Justin Herbert if you wanted the big, strong guy who fits prototypical build of a quarterback.
You couldn't have gone Jalen Hurts. You could have gone Jordan Love. They went Tua.
I'm not a huge Jalen. I think Jalen Hurts is good. I don't think he's great or anything like that. I do think that system very, you know, suits him very, very well. And
suit anybody very well.
Yeah, well, yes, you're probably right. But the thing with like Tua is like you keep going back to this injury thing and it's like you act like everyone like you're shocked that he's getting hurt. It's like, no. This is like what they signed up for. You can't draft a guy that you know is too small to play the position probably and had injuries in college and all of a sudden think, oh, it'll just get better when he gets to the pros because we have hope.
It's going to be there. It's an issue. And obviously build him a better line to protect him. That's my theory.
Now we have another guy who says, I'm curious what is your definition of or viewpoint of an excuse. I saw Omar's take as an explanation. You said it was an excuse. It is an explanation, but your explanations also can be excuses, Omar, which they are, right? I mean, talking about guys, anytime you say guys getting hurt, that's an excuse. It just is, right? Because it happens. I mean, that's kind of the nature of the sport. And, you know, we talked about this earlier too. Like you could be, you know, Omar, you can get hurt playing anything, right? You can get hurt playing golf.
Absolutely.
There are ways out there to get hurt playing golf, ask Tiger Woods. Let's see here. The worst thing, they knew about his injuries. They gave him the bag when they didn't have to. I still think you had to pay to at the time, right? I mean, you can't have it. You can have disgruntled players around all over the place, but you can't have a disgruntled quarterback. If that's who you're going to roll with, you got to at least make sure the guy's happy, right? I don't know that was really an option there, but
the worst case scenario happened, so everybody who said don't pay him is right.
Yeah.
So, all right. You know, we'll see what they say now when he stays healthy.
All right, Omar, I see the phone is ringing. Do you want to let people speak to you?
Yeah, but Dan Day's got to screen them.
Dan Day will not screen the calls. They will go right through, and you will have to deal with whatever's on the other end if you agree to do this.
I'll agree to do this because you want to be entertained. But I want to be entertained.
I actually think this has the potential to go well.
It has disaster written all over.
This is like the Dolphins. This has the potential to possibly go well, but it's probably going to be a train wreck.
Your definition of well is train wreck.
No, this isn't a train wreck. We got Cap for life in Miami.
No,
Cap for
again?
Life. Yeah, let's go.
It's the same guy from yesterday.
Hey, hello. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
I'm good, chap. How are you? What's going on?
Excellent. I woke up and breathing, man. Listen. I get it. I get the concern from everyone. And the reason yesterday I called in with so much emotion was the past week of us getting obliterated, which has never happened before. So forgive me, Hollywood. Forgive me
I appreciate the apology.
No worries. Just relax with the dumb button. You know what I mean? Just relax with the dumb button. Let me get my words out. Go look at your Costco receipt. Go look at your savings. Now,
okay.
My issue is you have a quarter of the league, like Houston's, Tampa Bay's, Washington, which is 1 year turnaround. I mean, the Steelers were struggling. They still were over 500. My point is you have a lot of these teams that were pretty much in the gutter in 1 year going ahead and turning it around. But we're being force-fed a narrative and force-fed a product that's not working. All I'm saying is if the fans don't get a return this season, when is it okay to voice our frustration? Because it just seems to me now that the fans are being blamed. And I don't think that's right whatsoever. Because if Oakland and the Patriots surpass us, I think we have a reason to get vocal.
Yeah. I don't think you have no reason to not be vocal now. My issue with the fan base is, I do take tremendous issue with this. You guys crap on everything. They dominate a trade with the Pittsburgh Steelers, get Minka Fitzpatrick, and the fan base is crying, woe is me. Oh, man, man. You knew you had to trade Jalen Ramsey for 4 months. Like, and you finally get, unload him.
What do you mean 4 months?
We knew before the trade deadline. We knew back in.
Come on.
Okay, not 4 months, 3 months. I apologize. Okay, you knew before the NFL draft, Jalen Ramsey was on the trade block, and you had to trade.
Yeah, right before the NFL draft, like the week before. So it was months. Relax with the months thing, okay?
Only 2 months. Okay, sorry.
Hey, man, listen, Omar. Dolphin fans have a right to get pissed about anything they want. 25 years of crap. And I don't understand that. And you have too. Joe has a really good gauge of the Dolphin fans. I think that you probably do too. Joe speaks to people all over the country. He tells me frustration's at an all-time high, and it should be. Fans should not accept this level of mediocrity anymore. Like, at some point, something's got to give. And the other thing that people get pissed off about is they keep running it back.
Okay. Let's see.
Dan's got another
guy. We got Ricky
here.
From Rhode Island. Ricky, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning.
Hey, Ricky.
I've been a Dolphin fan. I'm 58 my entire life since Zonker and Greasy. I'm a season ticket holder. My son just graduated the U. He loves them, and he just constantly thinks they're going to stink. We renewed again.
He's been right for the most part.
Yeah, no doubt. And it just seems like there's false optimism, and I hate to say it, but I'm in like Omar's camp where if everything goes right, I feel like things would go well. But it never goes right. There's something that's going to go wrong. And they're just one piece away from being a crap team. I was down there for the Stanley Cup. I was walking out solas, listening to you, Woody, and Joe. Pops out in front of me with Mike McDaniel, his wife and daughter. Yeah, he looked at me and said, I think everyone's going to be pleasantly surprised. I always think that, maybe because I'm an optimist, but sitting with my son yesterday, I listened to you guys. If I don't catch you live, I run it, back when I'm coming home from work. And he just looks at me and says, we're going to stink again. So I don't think the new tight end is going to do anything at all for us. I'd be surprised if he made the team, but something's better than nothing. I do think we won the trade. I think Jalen Ramsey was going to be a cancer. He had to go. They had no leverage, and they got something for nothing. So I'll end it there. I'm hoping for the best, but I always prepare for the worst, major disappointment.
Thank you for the call, my friend.
You're a realistic Dolphin fan. I can't promise you what's going to happen because, as I always say, you are one injury away from Liam Eichenberg starting on your offensive line, and
that the Dolphins, their margin for error then is thinner than other teams? Because every team deals with it, man, and not every team falls off the rails like the Dolphins do when the injury. Every single team deals with it.
I would agree with that, and part of the problem is they're not very good at drafting, and you don't have a young arsenal of players ready to step up. The Cam Smiths, the Eric Uzubakamas, the Channing Tindalls, they aren't ready to step up, and so what you have to do is you have to address that spot in free agency. If you drafted better, you would be in better position for the situation that you're in, and they don't.
Guess what team they're talking about on ESPN right now, by the way?
Probably Miami Dolphins because they're asking.
Here you go, Omar. Make or break. What's at stake for Tua this season?
Okay, his contract is fully guaranteed in 2026, so he's going to make his money one way or the other. So, whether or not it's with the Miami Dolphins, okay, some team is going to trade for him. He'll be fine. He'll be all right.
I don't agree with that, but
he'll be all right. The $50 million next year, he'll be all right.
He'll make his money. I'm guessing, though, it's more than just money to him. I feel like he probably would like
That's why I think there's been a change in him. There's been a slight change, and I've heard that there's been a slight change in him, how he's carried himself, how he's conducted himself in the team, how he's confronted players. I've heard there's absolutely been a slight change in him. This, too, realizes this is his team. And I don't think it's a coincidence that they went and got his road dog, Minka Fitzpatrick, to be the shepherd of the defense. Tua believes in Minka. Tua knows Minka. They're very similar people. I'm pretty sure this organization has turned the leadership over to the defense to Minka. Just like the offense, it's on Tua's shoulders.
The one thing I will say, though, too, really quick, Omar, about Tua, and we do have to get to a break here. And if you want to call and you call in. We'll take your calls here. Omar, we'll address your concerns at 305-567-0560. If Tua didn't have a passion to play, if he didn't want to play, Omar, he could have had an easy out after those concussions.
Oh, God.
Right?
That's not even the question.
I know, but that's just saying, man, like if the guy didn't have the passion to be out there, if he didn't want to win.
The man literally said, I'll die on this field.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing.
So, like, I get that he is going to be financially, he will be taken care of, but he does care.
I don't
care.
Even think it's about money.
He does. Like, you can't say that about the guy. Like, yes, there are a lot of players out there that are mercenaries, like you said, like with Jalen. It's all about the money. That's all that matters, right? It's the money, and that's it. But, like, Tua clearly cares because he had an easy out, right? He could have easily said, they didn't clear me to play. I'm done. Give me my money and call it a day. And he's risking – by the way, he's risking a lot by going out there still, right? He is risking a lot. He knows that he is probably one hit away from this maybe being, you know, the end of a career. And I guess he also knows that he's probably doing some damage that he may feel down the road.
Doesn't care.
So, well, I'm guessing he does care, but
no, it doesn't. Tua is a
he's a gamer though, man. I mean, like, you can't take that away from the guy. Like he does have that. So I won't say that about him. But you know, sometimes his.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Dan Day driving the program today. Dan, we got a big music weekend apparently coming to town. I didn't know they had the big country show going on at the Hard Rock Stadium. Everyone has let us know about that. I guess that one does sell out. That's a popular one there, right? Morgan Wallen.
Yeah, Morgan Wallen. Fast Cars. Last night.
They were playing, we have the speakers on in the building. I just was out there. They were playing Shabuzi. What's that one?
Bar
song. That song that he has, yeah, they were playing that.
Better known as Tipsy.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Omar, there are some calls coming in here, man. People want to speak to you, and
people want to yell at me.
I suppose this is look. We have a line here for people to reach you, Omar. So they don't have to tweet mean things to you, but they can get right to you here. Dan is fielding the calls as we speak at 305-567-0560. We do also have. Text coming in as well. So Dan will handle this phone situation here. What do we got, Dan?
We got Joe in Miami, no relation to Joe Rose. Go ahead.
Yeah, Omar, how are you? This is Joe. I'm a lifetime Miami Dolphins fan. Okay.
My condolences, Joe.
Yeah, but no relation to Joe Rose. Now, here's two things that I think you guys are failing to mention. Okay, let's do a comparison. With the Tua Tagovailoa injuries the past 2 years and the Lamar Jackson injuries the past 2 years and the Joe Burrow injuries the past 2 years. That's the first issue. Now, the second one is going to be the cornerback hole, which obviously we have a weakness there. But don't you think that the defensive line is going to – the pass rush is going to disrupt the patterns that the offense is running? And it's going to provide opportunities. I'm going to hang up and listen, all right? But I'm a big fan of you, Omar. I read your articles all the time, all right? You guys have a great day.
Appreciate you, Joe. Let me address what you're asking.
That was a much nicer call than I was anticipating, Omar.
I know. You want people to bring haymakers. that's what this coaching staff believes. They believe their pressure, their pass rushing, their improvements on the defensive front, getting Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips, pairing them with Chop Robinson. Then you got Zach Sealers. Then you got Kenneth Grant. They believe that it will create that the secondary has to do. But here's my thing. You still need somebody to cover that alpha receiver. And I don't know who that's going to be on this team. I think that the addition of Minkah Fitzpatrick is going to allow the safety that they added, Melifonwu, to play nickel. That's a position that he's played in Detroit. I think he can do it in spurts. So that means Cater probably works a little bit more on the boundary. So that means you just got to find one guy opposite him. And right now, to me, the leader is Storm Duck. So Storm Duck, Cam Smith, Ethan Bonner, Isaiah Johnson, Kendall Sherfield. Those guys are really going to be the ones that are competing to see who can man that starting spot. And as they've often put, any of these guys can have and carve out a respectable, healthy NFL career for themselves. Cater Kohu's done it. He's gone from an undrafted player to a bona fide NFL starter. He's making $4 million this year. Next year, he's probably going to make $8-9 million on a multi-year deal. You can take care of your generation, your family for generations, if you just take care of business right now. And that's the position that Cam Smith finds himself in, position Isaiah Johnson, who is my dark horse for that starting spot. I like Isaiah. I've always liked him, long, lean, athletic. The question is, when the heat turns up and you got speedsters like Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill on the field, can you cover them?
Omar, speaking of personnel, my guy, Sean, I've seen him at Funky Buddha a couple times.
There was another part of the question that he asked, which was, I think I addressed the cornerback position. I totally forgot your other part of the question. I apologize, Joe.
Nicely done, Omar. All right, let's get to the next call.
All right, we got some personnel questions from my guy, Sean. Sean, go ahead.
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call. Hey, Omar, I just want to voice some of the fans' frustration by asking you this. I think the problem with the Dolphins organization is there's a blueprint in the league that is built from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And how come for years now, it's always, every year, it's the offensive line. It's rinse and repeat. It's everything like that. And I think that's the frustration with the fans. And how come the Miami Dolphins can't get that right? And I have one more question after that.
I don't think that Chris Greer is very good at evaluating offensive linemen. That's just my honest truth. And
well, at least you're being honest.
It does not help that he's had so many changes in terms of, I mean, think about it. Brian Flores had 4 offensive line coaches in 3 years. Mike McDaniel's had 2. This is his first year where he's got the same offensive line coach. So they're always looking for something different. But the bottom line is they put resources to the offensive line. It just hasn't panned out for them all the time.
Okay. And another question I have is, maybe it's not a real hard one. What's up with Mo Kamara? How's he doing?
Okay. He looks like a sixth round pick. Mo Kamara wants to make the 53-man roster, he's got to get good on special teams, because I don't think he has the size or the power or the juice to be a pass rusher in the NFL.
All right, man. Thank you for taking my call. Take care.
All right. Thank you for the call. Omar, I will tell you, by the way, it was interesting. We're talking about, the secondary and who's going to cover the top receivers. And I'm just going through these games, which – I don't know what your take is on this. You got Indy, New England, Buffalo, New York, Carolina. Probably got to win at least 3 of those, right, to start the season, because that's the easiest part of your schedule. You don't play really elite wide receiver, as far as I can tell. I mean, unless you put Stephon Diggs.
I don't think there's an easy or weak or strong or part of the schedule. I think each week is going to be different, because I remember there was a year where Dolphins played like a series of backup quarterbacks because of injuries, or there was a game against the Giants but basically they were missing their offensive tackles. In Houston, Miami was missing both their offensive tackles. Injuries play a huge factor in the outcome of games, and you just can never tell.
No, but we're not doing that right now. We're not saying who's going to be hurt and who's not going to be, but you have Baltimore, Buffalo, and Washington in consecutive weeks. That's a tough stretch of games. You have a very difficult stretch to finish the season, right? You have starting December 7th, you go 2 cold weather games, which the Dolphins have not fared well in.
That's true. Right.
You got 2 playoff teams in Cincinnati and Tampa Bay. Potential playoff teams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Teams that you would probably say, as we sit here today, are probably superior teams, right? And then you go at New England to finish the season. Tampa Bay's made noise in the playoffs, man, so whatever.
I think Tampa's a comparable team. I don't
okay, fine. But you get what I'm saying. These are playoff caliber teams. And then you go at New England to finish the season, which is another very cold weather game. So I do think you need to have a pretty solid record before you hit that Baltimore, Buffalo, Washington stretch. And again, I go back to it, like, who is the elite wide receiver until you get to Baltimore? Who are the elite wide receivers that you're looking at and you're like, wow, I'm really scared of that guy?
Stephon Diggs.
That's it, right?
If he's healthy, yeah.
And if he's not suspended for what he did in the offseason, which I guess they kind of swept that under the rug, right?
Hey, man, you can catch him doing nothing on film but handing out some pink powder to some thoughts.
No, that's, yeah, nothing. Exactly.
I will agree with you. Can the Dolphins afford to come out soft and flat in the beginning of the season? No. That's pretty much the easiest way to ensure that Mike McDaniel loses his job. I think November is pretty much the trade deadline is pretty much my, if Mike survives the trade deadline, he'll make it through the end of the year. And to do that, he's got to start out hot, but you got to always have success for your players to buy in. And I think the more success that they have, the more the players will buy in. I think this team has a chance. I think they do truly have a chance because they've got Tua.
You're selling hope this morning.
Oh, I never sell hope.
They have hope because they have Tua?
Yeah. Tua's a good quarterback. Tua's a good quarterback. Tua's never had a losing season. Tua's the only quarterback in the NFL that has had a 100 passer rating for the last three seasons.
I knew you were going to come with numbers. You always come with numbers.
And people say, oh,
numbers
well,
never lie, right, Omar? They do when they come to that guy.
He doesn't play well in the big games. Okay, how about we add an amendum to that? His team does not play well in big games because there are instances where Tyreek is dropping big passes, where Waddle is dropping big passes, where his offensive line is a turnstile in those same big games where the run game is non-existent, where the defense can't put pressure on the quarterbacks. That's why he's not winning big games, not because Tua's not winning big games.
Interesting.
Oh, I saw that face, Dan Day.
Everyone's making faces at you right now. Everyone's making faces. Are you kidding?
He does his part in some of these big games.
Yes, he does his part in some of these big games. Absolutely. But is he the reason they're losing big games? No.
He's one of the main reasons, yes.
I watched him even in that Cowboys win on Christmas Eve a couple years ago. He was very pedestrian, and they barely won that game because Jason Sanders was kicking the ball all over the place.
Absolutely. And Jeff Wilson got it done in the fourth quarter when they needed to eat up the clock. But it's a team game, man. It is truly a team game. That's how you win and lose this in the NFL. It's a lot of the pressure goes to the quarterback and a lot of responsibility goes to the quarterback and all the money goes to the quarterback. All the money goes to the quarterback. So I understand heavy is the head that wears a crown, but Tua, give me any quarterback since Dan Marino that you want to get this thing righted with.
That's not a good because they haven't had one. This is kind of funny. They got on the screen right now. It says, can Josh Allen win a Super Bowl with the weapons around him? It says that their analytics tell them Buffalo has a 10% chance to win a Super Bowl this season. That's Miami's third best in the NFL.
Yeah, Miami probably would have a 2% chance. Yeah,
I don't know if the Bills got a 10% chance. I'd be very afraid to see what the Dolphins have. I also will tell you, Omar, this just came across our news desk here. If you want to do most rushing yards, the person to win the rushing title for the regular season, if you think that Devon Achane has a chance, he's going off at 40-1
for the rushing title.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley 41? Is at +250, 5-2. Derrick Henry's 4-1.
Yeah,
and then you got your other guys: Bijan, Christian McCaffrey, Jamar Taylor.
Gibbs, I put my money on the Raiders kid. Depending on what the odds are. Yeah,
he's 16-1.
Good money.
I never mess with a rookie, man.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah. You don't know how he's gonna adapt to the pro game.
No, you don't know how he's gonna adapt. You don't know when he's gonna hit the rookie wall.
If his coach won't play him. They might not even play him.
This is why Omar's not a member of the gambling community because he doesn't take these things into account.
Yeah, you're probably right. But if I'm going to put my money on somebody blindly, I'm going to put it on Gentry. That kid's got ability. His coach loves the run game. His coach believes in the run game. His backups, Raheem Mostert. Come on.
You know what's crazy? There could be a scenario, unless Saquon goes for 2,000 yards or something again, where 1,500 yards wins you the rushing title. Because I'm looking at the last handful of guys that have won it. Like McCaffrey did it the year before with under 1,500 yards. Jacobs did. Remember Josh Jacobs had that crazy season in 2022. Yeah. Jonathan Taylor had his big season the year before.
Who's Josh Jacobs playing for? Green Bay now?
Yes.
You fantasy people know this. Yeah, okay.
We fantasy people. Hey, man, we're getting close to fantasy draft time, all right? So
I know. Where's your vacation?
We're staying local this year. We had some of the members had kids, so we had to stay local.
Oh, okay.
But we're still going to do it, man. We're going to have the whole deal. I told people what we did for our draft. You know, we all sit in the room together. The commissioner gets up and gives an address to the league. You know, he speaks to the league, and we vote on different stuff like league rules, if there needs to be any rule changes, and we vote on our next year's draft location. It's like the whole deal, man. We have essentially the owner's meeting.
All that is cool. I don't mind that. Omar, he's leaving out the part where they all wear matching shirts that are special made for the occasion.
What are you, Joe, now? Are you gonna get on me for that, Dan? Jeez.
Listen. This is what he looks forward to all year. Like, let it be, man.
We do. Like a bachelorette party, we do make our own shirts. Yes, we do, to commemorate the occasion. I do wear them around town. Yeah.
Doesn't the loser have to do something?
Yes. We don't.
That's why you have the board meeting.
That one we don't discuss.
You don't disclose what the loser has to do?
Nope. Those that's a league secret. we're like the NFL. We cover up stuff. We like to cover up. What did they cover up? The collusion, the NFLPA, and the NFL. That's what we do. We like to cover up things because everything's got to have a little bit of corruption in it, right?
Yeah,
even our fantasy football. We have a very corrupt commissioner, by the way. Very corrupt.
You know why I don't play fantasy. You know why I don't play fantasy football? Like because I got to worry about my
for work. I don't know.
No, I got to worry about my real team, the real team I cover, and
I don't
pay attention to the rosters, and then everybody
rosters.
No, I don't. I don't change my roster, and everybody always celebrates victories over me.
Why don't you join the league here? We have a league here every year.
I still owe
Solana for last year.
I know, because you won't pay. Yeah.
I know. I'm boycotting. I'm boycotting Solana.
I saw him try to shake you down. He should ban you from the league.
He did. I paid him for the NCAA tournament thing. I don't even know who won that thing. Those brackets are too tough to follow. I don't even know who
won. Solana's going to get his muscle on you.
I know. He may. He's in the.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Hole right now. Hollywood, Omar Kelly, Dan Day, along here with you. We got to figure out a way to get a fantasy football league going where everyone can join. I don't know how to do that. If anybody has a suggestion, we should find a way to do that, Omar. Maybe you and I can lead the charge on that, and we can just get everyone involved. I don't know how we could do it, like where everyone gets to play. Maybe there's like a daily fantasy thing we can do, but like do it through the season. So I don't know if people have suggestions out there. Are people still doing daily fantasy? Is that even like a thing anymore? Because I know now we have the Hard Rock app, and so we don't need to do stuff like that. But I don't know. Like if there's a way that we can set it up, if anyone has any thoughts, then we could do that. Texture says even the Marlins are a better story than the Dolphins. The Marlins have been a fantastic story. I don't want to take away from what they've been doing here. It's actually been quite exciting. We always tend to get wrapped up in this Dolphin stuff here, Omar. The Marlins are 42-49 now on the season, and they are officially in the hunt for the wild card. They're 7.5 games out of the last wild card spot. So we'll see. The All-Star game is when is it, Dan? Next week, Tuesday, am I right about
Tuesday. That? Home Run Derby Monday, Tuesday is the game. Yeah.
Hey man, the Home Run Derby is one of those things where you just sit down, you watch the whole thing, right? The Home Run Derby is always awesome. That should be a lot of fun. Let's see here, Omar. We do have a bunch of texts coming in. This guy says Chip Kelly's already changed Gentry's pre-snap stance. Yeah, you wanted him to be you wanted to take him as your rushing leader here, Omar. How many times the Bills win because of Josh Allen? Can't say that about Tua, Omar. There you go. He got after
okay.
you, Omar.
Okay.
Someone said loser gets a tattoo of the winning team. I don't know if that's what this guy does for his league. I've seen that. I've seen leagues where they force you to get a tattoo. Those usually make it to social media because those are rough. I don't know. What are people doing out there? What's the punishment? What's your league punishment out there? Is everyone doing that these days? Like for the last place person? I got to tell you, by the way, I think I was the last place person this year. So I have to find out at the draft. I'll find out my punishment.
Oh, wow. So you do have to pay a penance.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. My season went off the rails. I mean, it was an absolute disaster. It went fully off the rails.
You probably had Tyreek on your team.
No, I did not. Tyreek went very early in the draft. I had Justin Jefferson. I know that Justin Jefferson was my first pick. And not that, you know, people care about fantasy teams and nothing more boring than hearing you talk about who was on your fantasy team. But yeah, I think Justin Jefferson, if I recall, was my first pick this past season. But it's hard, man. Fantasy football is gotten very difficult. There's a lot of injuries. Guys, you know, I want to say they sit
imagine
out a
the
lot,
real football. But imagine the real football.
Well, yeah, I know that's comes with it. Fantasy football is real, Omar. It's just different. But it is real. Say it's not real. It's very, very disrespectful.
I know, especially people who have to get tattoos for it.
Yeah, tell that guy fantasy football isn't real, Omar. Come on, man. But yeah, that's it's all around the corner here. So I'm just curious if anyone has an interesting thing here. What you got for your punishment? This guy says fire Woody's a fantasy GM. I guess I am the GM, but we do have a commissioner. Who my friend Evan, who is just he's a very corrupt person, and things seem to always break in his way. He's very manipulative when it comes to trades, but and he's good at that. That's what he does, kind of like for a living. But he's very good at like telling you what you want to hear.
Does the commissioner have to approve trades?
He does technically, and yes, there's been a lot of controversy. In our league, there's usually a controversy every year where guys are threatening to kill each other. There's usually I don't know that a season hasn't gone by where at least a couple people don't drop out of the group chat temporarily, and I would say at least 1 to 2 death threats per year. I think is kind of where
death
we're
threats
at.
Over fantasy football league.
It gets taken very seriously, man. It's kind of like, and I've only won.
That's why I can't play.
I've been playing with these guys. I don't know, 2010, 2009, something like that. I've only won once. I've only won the league once. I've won fantasy basketball twice. I actually won this past season in fantasy basketball, and fantasy basketball is even tougher because that's just, you talk about guys that don't play. I mean, the NBA guys, they don't play because they got a headache or whatever, or, you know, they a hangnail, they won't play. So DC Rob, good morning, DC, says, I'm the type of person that would enjoy my punishment. DC Rob's mean.
Oh, you're the type of person that would enjoy your punishment.
Yeah. Our punishment is to read Omar's tweet, someone said. Daily fantasy is the only way for large amounts of people. I'm down, man. I'm down. If we can do that, that would be great. Someone said they just won their league with Jonnu Smith. There you go.
Okay. Like, you know, when you're talking fantasy, I don't know what you're talking about.
Stephen Ross needs to end his streak of hiring first-time head coaches since Bobby.
I agree with that.
Wayne Huizenga and finally hire a veteran coach, John Gruden, he says.
I agree with that, but he fundamentally does not believe in hiring guys who are not first-time head coaches.
The John Gruden thing is weird, and I know like all that. I'm very well aware of all the stuff that he did.
Mm-hmm.
But, Omar, I don't know, man.
He's coming back.
It seems like a very forgiving.
Yes, he's coming back.
Yes, very.
Question is,
everyone's very forgiving what, out there, depending on if you can win or not. Obviously,
that is correct. Can John Gruden build you a healthy, sustainable team?
And John Gruden can win. I'm guessing they aren't going to care what he says in the past.
My position, and this is the issue that I have for everybody who's just like, oh, Steve Ross should have just fired everybody, started over. Okay, and start over with who or how? And then they're like, well, I don't know. Hire the next best GM. Hire the understudy for Howie Roseman. Hire whoever. It's very few accomplished, proven people that can absolutely say they're going to turn around your franchise. Now, next offseason, there's going to be two available. There's going to be Bill Belichick and John Gruden. And I don't think that the Miami Dolphins will be hiring Bill Belichick because he'd be pushing to take down Shula's record. So there's that. And also, I think Bill Belichick is probably one of the worst executives in the NFL when it comes to building a roster. Great coach, but building a roster, not his thing. He lucked into Tom Brady, and Tom Brady just made it easier. And then there's Gruden out there. Gruden has shown you he could take you to the mountaintop.
All right.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.